It's Friday, December 20th, 2013, and this is the Threat Matrix. I'm your host, Dan Vertan, the cyber and national security reporter for FedScoop. The President of the United States today held his end-of-the-year press conference, during which he answered reporters' questions about the ongoing NSA electronic surveillance programs and the recommendations released this week by an independent panel of experts who called for fundamental changes in how the NSA goes about its surveillance activities. The review panel, led by Richard Clark, the former counterterrorism and cybersecurity chief in the Clinton administration, and Michael Morell, a former deputy director of the CIA, issued a 300-plus page report to the president that recommended the White House put an end to the NSA's authority to store bulk metadata it collects from private telephone companies and called for significant changes to the process behind the Secret Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, as well as the FBI's issuance of national security letters.
What we're doing now is evaluating all the recommendations that have been made. Over the next several weeks, I'm going to assess, based on conversations not just with the intelligence community, but others in government and outside of government, how we might apply and incorporate their recommendations. And I'm going to make a pretty definitive statement about all of this in January, where I'll be able to say, here are the recommendations that we think make sense. Here are ones that we think are promising but still need to be refined further. Here's how it relates to the work we're doing, not just internally, but also in partnership with other countries. And so I'm taking this very seriously because I think, as I've said before, this is a debate that needed to be had. One specific program, the 215 program, is the metadata, the bulk collection of phone numbers and exchanges that have taken place that has probably gotten the most attention, at least with respect to domestic audiences. And what I've said in the past continues to be the case, which is that the NSA, in executing this program, believed, based on experiences from 9/11, that it was important for us to be able to track if there was a phone number of a known terrorist outside of the United States calling into the United States, where that call might have gone, and that having that data in one place and retained for a certain period of time allowed them to be confident in pursuing various investigations of terrorist threats. And I think it's important to note that in all the reviews of this program that have been done, in fact, there have not been actual instances where it's been alleged that the NSA in some ways acted inappropriately in the use of this data. But what is also clear is from the public debate, people are concerned about the prospect, the possibility of abuse, and I think that's what the judge in the district court suggested. And although his opinion obviously differs from rulings on the FISA court, we're taking those into account. The question we're going to have to ask is, can we accomplish the same goals that this program is intended to accomplish in ways that give the public more confidence that, in fact, the NSA is doing what it's supposed to be doing? I have confidence in the fact that the NSA is not engaging in domestic surveillance or snooping around. But I also recognize that as technologies change and people can start running algorithms and programs that map out all the information that we're downloading on a daily basis into our telephones and our computers, that we may have to refine this further to give people more confidence. And I'm going to be working very hard on doing that.
The president also made it clear that his final review and policy statement will take into account the international fallout from the leak of documents stolen by former NSA contractor Edward Snowden. Those documents have revealed the truly global scale of the NSA's reach and capabilities, and the revelations have embarrassed many key allies.
And we've got to provide more confidence to the international community. In some ways, what has been more challenging is the fact that we do have a lot of laws and checks and balances and safeguards and audits when it comes to making sure that the NSA and other intelligence agencies are not spying on Americans. We've had less legal constraint in terms of what we're doing internationally. But I think part of what's been interesting about this whole exercise is recognizing that in a virtual world, some of these boundaries don't matter anymore. And just because we can do something doesn't mean we necessarily should. And the values that we've got as Americans are ones that we have to be willing to apply beyond our borders, I think, perhaps more systematically than we've done in the past.
The president also addressed the controversial telephone metadata program authorized under Section 215 of the Patriot Act. The review panel recommended that the data be retained by the private sector and that the government be granted access only after proper legal reviews and access requests have been granted. The NSA's position has always been that such a process would be too cumbersome and would prevent the agency from responding to terrorist plots in real time. The president left the door open to some sort of automated system that would provide both public trust that the government is not storing personal information indefinitely, but would also give access to the data in near real time when needed and when authorized by a court.
We believed that we had scrubbed these programs and struck an appropriate balance, and there had not been evidence, and there continues not to be evidence, that the particular program had been abused in how it was used, and that it was a useful tool working with other tools that the intelligence community has to ensure that if we have a thread on a potential terrorist threat, that that can be followed effectively. What I've also said, though, is that in light of the disclosures that have taken place, it is clear that whatever benefits the configuration of this particular program may have may be outweighed by the concerns that people have on its potential abuse. And if that's the case, there may be another way of skinning the cat. So we just keep on going at this stuff and saying, can we do this better? Can we do this more effectively? I think that the panel's recommendations are consistent with that. So if you had a chance to read the overall recommendations, what they were very clear about is, we need this intelligence. We can't unilaterally disarm. There are ways we can do it, potentially, that gives people greater assurance that there are checks and balances, that there's sufficient oversight, sufficient transparency. Programs like 215 could be redesigned in ways that give you the same information when you need it without creating these potentials for abuse. So let me just be very specific on the 215 program. It is possible, for example, that some of the same information that the intelligence community feels is required to keep people safe can be obtained by having the private phone companies keep these records longer and to create some mechanism where they can be accessed in an effective fashion. That might cost more. There might need to be different checks on how those requests are made. There may be technological solutions that have to be found to do that. And the question that we're asking ourselves now is, does that make sense not only because of the fact that there are concerns about potential abuse down the road with the metadata that's being kept by a government rather than private companies. But also, does it make sense to do because people right now are concerned that maybe their phone calls are being listened to, even if they're not? And we've got to factor that in. So my point is that the environment has changed in ways that I think require us to take that into account. But the analysis that I've been doing throughout has always been, you know, periodically looking at what we're doing and asking ourselves, are we doing this in the right way? Are we making sure that we're keeping the American people safe, number one? Are we also being true to our civil liberties and our privacy and our values?
This has been The Threat Matrix. I'm Dan Vertan. Thanks for listening.